All right, well, go over to Revelations once again. We're going to talk just a little bit about this tonight. We won't finish this up tonight. We're going to come close to it tonight, though. Revelations chapter 2, and once you get your place there, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verses, where am I at here? Let me get the right page. Verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. I'm going to ask you a question. Remember, I left you off with a question last week. What type of prisons are there other than physical prisons? And I had you ponder that because it said down the devil may cast some of you in prison. It's not always a physical present prison. All right, so we're at Ephesians, Revelations chapter 2, verse 8. And we're going to start reading verse 8, 9, and 10. I want you guys to read along with me. Here we go. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Father, bless the words of your book tonight, Lord, the words of life. And Lord, may they illuminate our hearts and Lord, give us encouragement. Lord, we look at this church at Smyrna and it is the persecuted church, but they're protected by Almighty God. Help us recognize, Lord, we are persecuted as well, but we're protected by Almighty God. And we still may have to go through some things that seem like they're very unfair, Lord, to us. But Lord, I pray that you would guide, direct, and lead our minds and our hearts and our thoughts and help us to understand the will of God in our lives tonight. Bless now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, I mentioned to you last week what types of prisons are there. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But I want to draw your attention to something else here. Notice down there in verse number 10 at the end, it says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, a crown of life. So he's telling these guys, if you're faithful, I'll give you a crown of life. Now, is he saying that if I'm not faithful, I won't get a crown of life? Yeah, you guess, amen. Do we get crowns automatically? No, this is not like in the days of King David when they had sons and they got automatic crowns just for being the son of the king, amen. These crowns are earned. Now, who can tell me what's the difference between a crown which is earned? I just gave you the answer. Yeah, amen, see? A crown is earned. What is salvation? It's given, it's free. We'll say the wages of sin is what? Death, but the gift of God. So you've got something that's given to you. When you get saved, it's free. Boom, you got it. You get it. But now crowns are earned. This particular crown here, he says, now what do you got to do to get it? Be faithful what? Be faithful unto death. That means you got to die to get this one. How many of y'all want to sign up for the pain list? We've already forfeited that crown. Amen. Be faithful unto death. Now, granted, we may not want to go that way, but that is a crown that we could earn dying for the cause of Jesus Christ. And by the way, some believe that the crowns signify authority and rulership. When David had the crown, what did that signify his rulership was? King of where? Israel. Was he king of the Philistines? No. So his crown then was a crown for Israel. Now, did the Philistines have their own king? Yes. Did the Assyrians have their own king? Yes. Did the Edomites have their own king? Yes. The Amalekites and on and on and on. The king, everybody had their own king. So it is believed that the crowns signify rulership and authority. So now we can earn the crown. What would that mean for us? We might have authority, and we might have what? Huh? If with authority comes what? power. Yes, comes power. Responsibility. What also may come with responsibility? Pain. Amen. Those things may be true. Amen. Show you a couple verses here. Let me see. Y'all are getting the bad part. We don't want the pain just yet. That comes later. Amen. Go over with me to, let's see. We're in Revelations now. Where do I want to go first? Let's go to Revelation. Now let's go to 2 Timothy. Go back to 2 Timothy. We'll take this in succession here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because it is believed that crowns come with authority, and with that authority comes rulership, and with that rulership comes territory. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 12. Who's got 2 Timothy 2:12? Can read that for me. Layla, you got 2 Timothy 2:12? She got it. Got it? So notice what goes with the pain. It says, if we suffer, we shall what? Reign with him. So again, coming with the crown comes rulership, comes authority, comes reigning. Now, Layla, if you could reign in any place in the world, what would you reign over? What would you be rulership over? Virginia. I thought she was going to say North Carolina. Amen. She'll take Virginia. Brother Hall looking at her, you ain't my daughter. Virginia. She wants to reign over Virginia. Amen. If you do something about those city highways. They're terrible. Amen. I'll show you another verse here. So you get the gist here. He says, now, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. Reign means to have rulership. Okay. So go to Revelations now, chapter 5 and verse 10. Revelations chapter 5 and verse number 10. We'll be talking about this crown of life, Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 10. Who's there? I can read Revelation 5, 10. Go ahead, Faith. Amen. And verse number 9 is a group of people getting saved there. And he says, hey, God has made us kings and priests, and we shall what? Reign on the what? The earth. This is authority. Again, with crowns comes rulership and authority, and we get to reign. Show you another one here. Go over to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. You say, preacher, I don't want that. That's not my authority. I don't want that one. Now, Faith, where would you want to rule over if you had that authority? Which city would you take? What country would you take? What would you take? Say Illinois. No. Where is it? Australia. Oh, yeah, down under. Amen. Faith, no, not Australia. Japan, so she can rule in there. I'm coming to visit. Amen. All right. 11:15, let's read that one there. Is that Revelation 11:15? That's when I want it. Amen. All right, who's got Revelation 11:15? Go ahead, Miss White. Amen. The kingdoms of our Lord and Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And guess what? We're reigning with him. If he's reigning, guess what? We're reigning with him. But who's going to be reigning where, and who's going to be doing what? A lot of that's going to be predicated upon what crown you have. Authority. Say, preacher, I don't want a crown. I just want to be there. Amen. And I'm with you too. Amen. If it's cause for suffering, I may have to take a back seat as well. Amen. Go over to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. We're talking about crowns. What does a crown signify? Oftentimes it's authority, it's rulership, it's reigning, it's an area, a territory. Many believe. Amen. All right, who's got Revelation 20 and verse 6? Miss Duffy? Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection.
they shall be priests to God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Amen. So guess what? Part in the first resurrection, that's those that die in Christ. Who is that? That's you and I if we're saved. Amen. What does it say? You're born twice. You die how many times? Once. You're born once. How many times you die? Twice. Amen. And so he says, hey, in that second the second death, it's not going to touch you at all, but they're going to be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him. How long? 1,000 years. So think about this now. During the millennial reign of Christ, when New Jerusalem comes down over the earth and Christ is in charge, guess who's got to rule? Somebody's got to rule. And guess who might be ruling? Some of us. And what comes with the rulership? The crowns and the authority oftentimes. It has always signified territory and authority and a ruler and rulership. And so David had his king, his crown. Solomon had his crown. The Assyrian kings had their crown. Everybody's had their crowns. And it means that I was in charge of this territory. When I got deposed, what got taken? My crown. And what did the new king do? Put that crown on his head. Okay? Show you one more area here. Revelation 22 and verse number 5. Revelation 22 and verse number 5. And who's got that? Revelation 22 and verse 5. Go ahead, Joshua. And they shall reign forever and ever. So you keep hearing this thing about reigning and reigning and reigning. And not everybody's going to get to reign. Guess what? When you come to the 12 apostles, did they all have equal billing? They really didn't. There was a differentiation between those. You had Peter, the spokesman. You had James and John, the sons of thunder. You had Thomas, the doubter. You had Nathaniel, the criticizer. I mean, you had Judas, the traitor. Amen. So they all had their different quirks about them. You had Andrew, the soul winner, and Philip. Amen. And so they had a difference about them as well. And so the Bible is clear here in Revelations and throughout Scripture, and when it comes to New Testament, that Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years on the earth. And we're going to reign with him, but the differentiation in rulership determines your level of reward and crown. Will we all get there if we're saved? Yes, we all get there. But now what we do is going to be a different story of whom much is given. Much is what? Required. Amen. And so if God has given you a lot here, he expects a lot more. But in the end, guess what? He's going to give you a whole lot as well. Amen. And so go back to Revelation chapter number 2. So what is said to this church here at Smyrna, the persecuted church, the suffering church, is that, hey, look, if you're faithful unto death, I'm going to give you a crown of life. That's a symbol of authority that I can give you. However, what's the caveat on that? I got to suffer. So here comes the pain part. Amen. Go back up there to verse number 10. That's where we left off at last time. And notice what he says here. And we were talking about this point here, their refinement through pain and then their refinement through prison. The pain part was there. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Excuse me. That was the pain part. But then he says down there, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And so that's their refinement through prison. So the pain comes first, the suffering, and then the refinement, their prison. And the devil shall cast some of you in prison. Amen. By the way, we mentioned this last week. Iron bars don't necessarily make a prison. What can be a prison? It's not just always solitary confinement. What can be a prison? I listed several things last week. Layla? A dungeon could be a prison. Yes, that's true. That's a physical prison. Yes. A locked room could be a prison. That's true. Yes, sir. No video games could be a definite bad prison for children. Amen. Tasha?
A set of
don'ts. Amen. Bad situations. Amen. Amen. Brother Hall? Mm-hmm. That could be a prison as well, Ms. Andrea. mental health. And these are not, it's not four walls on this, but it's still a prison. Why? I'm trapped. I'm confined. Give you the definition for prison that we gave you last week. Prison is this, a guarding or a concrete facility, literally or figuratively. It could be a place. It could be a condition. It could be a time. It could be a cage. It could be a hold or an imprisonment. And it says the devil shall cast some of you into prison or shall cause some of you to be put in prison. And so now, here were some of the ones that we mentioned last week. A prison could be a bad marriage. It could be a prison. It could be a dysfunctional home. It could be an unsatisfactory job. It could be a bad financial situation. It could be an unstable medical condition. It could be a school situation. It could be a spiritual state of mind, an emotional state of mind, a psychological state of mind, a relational state of mind. Anything that holds us captive and unable to do the will of God can be a prison to us. So it's not necessarily four walls. Now, that can be a prison as well. But it's anything that's going to stop me from doing the will of God is going to be a prison to me because I'm captive. Think about it. And Jesus came to do what? To set the captives free. So if there's a prison that Satan is trying to put me in, I don't have to be his captive. What did Paul say? I'm the bond of Christ. I'm in the bonds of Christ. And so what prison he puts you in depends on what you let him put you in. Amen. Yes, Ms. Dawson? Fear can be a prison. That's right. Amen. Amen. I was just talking to somebody recently. Fear of spiders. Amen. Hey, I'll step on them. Although there was one that was crawling up. They said, Dad, what's that? I said, it's a spider. I went and got me a big old napkin thing. And then he ran and I jumped and I crushed him. Amen. Was I afraid of him? Yes, I'm afraid he's going to jump on me and crawl up my sleeve or something. Amen. But as long as I had that napkin, I feared no spider. Till he got close. Amen. All right. But anyway, all these things can be prisons. Anything that holds us captive, amen, can be a prison to us. And notice what he says about this prison. He says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. What's the reason? That ye may be tried. So God is saying the devil's going to throw you in this prison and his design is to test you, to examine you. Wow. Now, if the devil is trying to examine us, what does that mean? What did Jesus say to Peter? Desire. How many of y'all remember the old sifters? Anybody? Young enough to remember that? What you do, Pastor White, you put that flour in there, you turn that, and then there was that little net underneath there. And what was the design of the sifter? Fluff up the flour. And when you was done, what was left? Stuff that you didn't want to eat. And it would get out all the bad stuff. And you put that thing there and sift that weed. I thought that was so much fun. Like, Mom, can I do that? I just made a mess over everything. I'm all over the place, you know. But at the end, I say, oh, look at that. Mama said, all right, we're going to throw that out. But everything that came through the net, guess what? We got to eat that. Amen. And so Peter had the same thing. Go over real quick with me to Luke 22. Luke 22. And because as you look at this, not only is there the refinement through prison, but now we find there's going to be a refinement through pressing. Luke 22 and verse 31. And Luke 21, verse 31. Who's got that? This is the area where Jesus said that he was going to pray for Peter. Faith, read Luke 22, 31. Sift you as wheat. But notice what Jesus said, verse 31, read that, or 32. What I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fall not. And when thou art failed not, thou art strengthened by them. He said he's desired to have you, to sift you like wheat. He said, but I prayed for you so that when you get converted, you can strengthen your brethren. By the way, when you look at that word sift down there, it means to put something through a sieve, or to separate by putting through a sieve, or to sort out what is useful or valuable. So he's trying to sort out what's useful, what's valuable. By the way, when God puts us through the sieve of his will, what is that trying to do? Trying to refine us so that the good comes out. When Satan puts us through one, what is he trying to do? He wants the bad to come out. He wants the bad to come out. So he's trying to put us through the sieve so nothing but bad comes out. And God wants the good to come out. So listen to this commentary. James Fawcett Brown gave this comment. He said, the same event is often both a temptation from the devil and a trial from God over there in Revelation, where it talks about he's going to put you in prison to try you. God's sifting and winnowing the man to separate his chaff from his wheat, the devil sifting him in the hope that nothing but chaff will be found in him. So the devil doesn't want anything but chaff, all the useless stuff. He wants all that to come out so everybody can see that. I was talking to my sister yesterday and talking about her surgery, how she had to go back in and get her appendix taken out and then get the gallbladder taken out. And I said, well, how are you holding up, sis? She said, you know what? I'm just trying to be a testimony to the Lord. She said, everybody's looking at the Christian now to see what the Christian's going to do. Not the Christian's going through a hard time. What's the Christian going to do? I was praising God and all this a couple weeks ago. Now everybody wants to come to the hospital and say, now how you going to do it now? Now how you going to behave? Now where the chips are down, what are you going to do? Everybody wants to say, what's the Christian going to do? She said, I'm just trying to praise God. I just want to be a testimony to my Lord. I said, amen, sis. I said, I'll be praying for you. And that's what the devil does. Notice what he says down there. Go back to Revelations chapter number 2. He says down there in verse number 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And that is the refinement through prison. He says, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. That's refinement by prison. But then the refinement through pressing, he said, that ye may be tried and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. The 10 days here and the tried there, the tried means to scrutinize, to discipline, to examine, to prove. And so when you look at this, it could be a literal 10 days or it can be figuratively 10 days. The Bible uses 10 days all the time, sometimes meaning 10 literal days, sometimes meaning a longer period, sometimes just meaning many days. But he says, hey, look, you're going to be pressured. You're going to be tried here 10 days. You're going to go through some tribulations, some afflictions, some anguish, some burdens. It could be 10 days. It could be a short time, a brief period, or a few days. One thing is for sure, there will be tribulation and there will be a trial. Notice what he says down there. Again, verse number 10. He said that ye may be what? Tried. That's for sure. And ye shall have what? Tribulation. That's for sure. Now, how long 10 days is, we don't know. It could be 10 literal days or figuratively. But we do know they will be tried and they will have tribulations. What can we equate to that for us modern day Christians? We will be tried and we will have tribulation. Do we know how long? We don't. We don't. We just know it's going to happen. Why? This is the persecuted church, but the protected church. He says, hey, look, he said, fear none of those things which you're going to suffer. The devil's going to cast you into prison of some sort. It may be physical walls. It may not be physical walls. But he says, it's for this reason that you're going to get tried, that you're going to have some tribulation. And it's going to be 10 days. But then he gives them the promise, their refinement through the promise. He says, be thou what? Faithful unto death. He says, no matter if it's 10 days or how long it is, if you're in prison, you're going to be tried. You're going to get some tribulation. He says, you need to be faithful. When is it the easiest to give up? When you're going through a tough time. Yes, Josh? It's the easiest when you're going through a tough time. You ever see these marathon runners and they're on that last leg and you can't see the finish line? What did they start doing? Tongue dragging. I was watching some of the NCAA track stars the other day, and this guy was winning the race and jumped one of those hurdles and fell. You saw that? And fell. Lost the race. He was in the lead, and he hit that hurdle, and boom, went down. I thought, oh, I felt it. It hurt. It hurt. I mean, he did finish the race. But it's tough when you get tired and you got that. But when you see that finish line, when you turn that stretch and you ain't hardly got nothing left, but you see that, man, you get a burst, you get a kick. I remember I used to get that kick. I thought I was running the fastest, but I was just kind of like, and you feel like you're running fast because you're just that time by ran track. You know, and when you get that last leg, especially when you run like a more than 400 meters and you're coming up to that left, what was it back in the day? It's 400 yards. Once around the track, amen. And you're coming up there and you see that finish line and you tongue hanging out and you don't have anything left, but you see that finish line and you feel like you're running fast and you're just kind of like, and I watched somebody, I said, I can run faster than that. Not after going around once or twice, I couldn't. But you see that finish line, and man, you get that extra oomph. But before you see that finish line, you're tired. You want to quit. You want to give up. Yeah, Berger?
Yeah, that happened to me the last curve round. I was battling out for who's going to get sixth place. And I wound up getting sixth place.
Hey, but you finished the race. Hey, it says, be thou faithful unto death. So hey, as long as you cross that finish line, amen. So the last part there, and we'll finish this next time we come together, the refinement through the promise. He said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He said, there's something waiting for you there if you can finish this. This is not salvation. This is not the gift. This is earned. You've got to run for this. You've got to work for this. You've got to run for this. Next time, we're going to look at several of the crowns that we can actually get. This is one called the martyr's crown. How many of y'all want that one? You have to die to get this one. There's many saints down through the years that have gotten this. You go to China, they're still getting it. You go to Africa, they're still getting it. You go to Muslim countries, they're still getting it. You go to a lot of communists, they're still getting it. They're still getting it. I dare say in some of the schools now, they're probably still getting it. Some of these young teenagers that stand up for Jesus Christ, they get shot with these shootings in the high schools, they're still getting it. People don't like that. They're still getting it. Martyr's crown. He said, be thou faithful. He said, you know what? You're going to have to suffer. None of us want to sign up for the pain list. But it's going to come. I told y'all last week when I got saved, I didn't know I was signing up on the pain list automatically. I didn't know that when I got saved that it was going to come with the territory. I thought I was pain-free. I'm saved, eternal life, amen. But guess what? We still have to live this temporal life until we get there, amen. So as you look at this, amen, just remember their woes through persecution down there. Verse 9, he says, I know thy works in tribulation, their wealth through persecution. He said, in poverty, but thou art rich, and their warning through persecution. I know the blasphemy, verse 9, of them which say they're Jews and are not. And then the refinement through persecution, through the pain. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. And he says down there, the refinement through the prison. He says, hey, the devil's going to cast some of you into prison. It's going to happen. A prison of some sort, the devil will take you and lead you into. And the part that I guess we don't like, God's going to let it happen. God's going to let it happen. We don't like that part. God, why you let it happen? But he got nailed on the cross for us. And it's to refine us. Notice what he says, that ye may be what? Tried. He said, that's why it's going to happen. He said, church at Smyrna, I'm testing you. I'm seeing what you're made of. I'm trying you. And you're going to have this trial 10 days. He said, but my encouragement to you is the refinement through the promise. Be thou faithful. Yes, you're going to have this pressing, this tribulation 10 days. It's going to happen, but I'm watching you. I'm watching you. Remain faithful. And by the way, I don't know about you, but there are a lot of other crowns that you can earn besides this one. This one, you got to stop living to get this one. I like the ones where you can actually keep living with those. Amen. And we'll look at some of those next time. But the persecuted church is here. He said there's a crown of life. Now, before you get your reservations on a place, you got to earn a crown first. Brother Hall, you got your dibs on North Carolina? Amen. Before you get your dibs on these places, amen. Because think about it, the millennial reign, somebody's got to rule. Somebody's got to rule. And Jesus is going to have his saints ruling and reigning. He's already distributed to the 12 apostles. He said, you guys got some authority as well. Guess what? There's more than 12 places in the world. And somebody's got to supervise. And many believe these crowns go hand in hand with that. You say, well, preacher, there's a lot of places around the world. There's a lot of people in the world, too. And so there's enough crowns to be given out. G2, you may have Golden State. Have to look over San Francisco. Joshua, you may have to look over all the sports teams so you can pick which one you like. Amen. Bottom line is it's going to happen. Tribulation, maybe 10 days. There's going to be a prison the devil's going to try to put us in. And God's going to let it happen. But it's designed to try us, to test us. God's encouragement is be faithful. Be faithful. That's all he asks, be faithful. Do we like it? No, no, we don't like it. But he says, be faithful. Fear none of those things. Amen. Father, thank you. This church at Smyrna, well, we don't like the things that go on in the world sometimes. Sometimes we don't like the prisons that we're allowed to have to go through. Lord, if Paul and Silas could sing in prison, if Joseph could glorify you in his prison, if Paul could glorify you when he was locked up in his dungeon and write those epistles, then Lord, we too can glorify you in our prisons. Help us to get through these prisons, making you look good, shining for Jesus. Lord, we're not all jumping up and down for the martyr's crown, but there's so many other crowns that we can get other than the crown of life. Help us as we go through the remainder of this week, as we come up to challenges, as we go through prisons that we did not ask for, that we feel ourselves confined and constrained in situations with maybe people or jobs or whatever it may be. As we are refined and constrained, Lord, help us to come forth as gold. And we may not get the crown of life, but Lord, there's many other things that we could get. Help us as a persecuted Christian to come forth as gold, knowing we're protected by Almighty God in whatever prison it is that you have for us the remainder of this week and into the future. We thank you. We love you. Bless now. And the announcements, and as we're dismissed, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.